Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. There's no special show notes or announcements up front. Let's go ahead and dive right on in. Ever since Joe Biden has been installed in the White House, it has been a nightmare. It's been a nightmare for the country, and we all know it. Everything is just getting worse. We got the collapse of the border. We're being overrun by illegal immigrants. We got things going to shit internationally. The economy is crap. Everything is horrible. But one of the worst things about the Biden administration since he's been installed into office has been the online censorship. Now, look, there's been a growing movement to censor the internet, and that movement has been coming from the left. And we know that the left has been coordinating with the social media companies in order to try and censor out things that they find inconvenient, the inconvenient truth, or anything that debunks their narrative. And of course, they always want to go off and try and claim that they are doing so in order to combat misinformation, combat hate. They always want to go off and claim some noble reason why we must censor the internet. And as we all know, Biden's administration has recently come out and said that they are working with Facebook and the social media companies in order to target what they call misinformation, in order to be able to censor the internet even more, in order to try and wipe out alternative information, or in this case, the actual truth. And we are seeing here that George Orwell's 1984, the Democrats use that as their playbook rather than a warning for what they are doing. And when you take a look at the left, you know, the censorship, the forced compliance with whatever mandate that they want to issue on the country, it's not only Orwellian what they are doing, but it's the exact same thing every murderous dictator has done on their rise to power. It's what Stalin did. It's what Hitler did. It's what Mao Zedong did. Anytime you got a group of people trying to go off and say they have the right to censor any information, to determine what it is you're allowed to read about, what ideas you're allowed to express, what you're allowed to think, it always ends up in an authoritarian nightmare. Tyranny always rises as a result. And right now, the Democrats are trying to go off and use the claim of misinformation as a catch-all justification for censoring everything, especially that regarding COVID, so that they can go through and issue mandates and try and implement fear in order to be able to create a more compliant nation. Because as long as you don't know what's going on, they can go out there and claim anything that they want, and you're going to comply out of fear and lack of actual information. And as a result, and let's face it, we all know that the Democrats have been doing this for a long time. These coordination with social media companies in order to censor the internet. The Democrats in the House and the Senate have been doing it for years. You know this. All you have to do is take a look at whenever the Democrats go out there and issue a proclamation about what social media should be censoring, what it is they should not be allowing on their so-called platform. And after they do this, what happens? Facebook, Twitter, YouTube update their community guidelines, their terms of service, in order to block out or prevent you from being able to talk about something or to be able to disagree. You know, they had no problems trying to go off and make baseless claims about the 2016 election being stolen and being the result of Russian collusion. But the moment the Democrats got into office and a lot of questions started arising about all of the irregularities that we witnessed in the election, all of a sudden, the terms of service have been updated and you're no longer allowed to talk about it. The Biden administration is going out there and saying, hey, anything that doesn't go along with what the CDC says must be wiped off, must be censored as misinformation related to COVID-19. And let's face it, the CDC has lost all credibility at this particular point in time. They've been flip-flopping all over the place. Their guidelines, the so-called science, keeps changing day to day based off of political needs, not actual scientific data. And so we know that they have politicized COVID as a catch-all, just like they've used racism as a catch-all, in order to justify doing anything that they want. And recently, I was censored on YouTube. Yes, ScrewTube. I was censored because I talked about a story about parents in D.C. filing a lawsuit. And the lawsuit was because their children were being vaccinated and they weren't being informed. Because apparently Washington, D.C. passed a law that says children as young as 11 can give informed consent to be vaccinated. Now, that in itself is bad enough because 11-year-olds can't give informed consent. They have no idea what's actually going on, what the vaccine actually does. But more to the point, they can be pressured. They can be pressured. You know, they can be told, hey, you know, you get the vaccination, you get praise and all of that. But if you don't, oh, you're going to be punished. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be excluded from all these activities. They can easily be pressured. But the biggest point of that story was the dangers that that was causing. Yes, I know. Maybe that's because why I was censored, because I was talking about the danger. But the danger was vaccinating kids and keeping it secret from their parents. And I was going off and talking about how every vaccine, there's a certain portion of the population that has an adverse reaction. There is no vaccine out there in which nobody has an adverse reaction to. And so I talked about the dangers that if you're purposely keeping it a secret from the parents and barring insurance companies and doctors from being able to share the vaccination information with the parents, then that is putting the kids in danger. Because what if the kid does have an adverse reaction to the vaccine, but the parents don't know that the child was even vaccinated? And the parents, not being medical professionals themselves, if the child is having an adverse reaction and they don't know it's vaccinated, they're not going to be thinking that this is an adverse reaction to a vaccination. They're going to be thinking, wow, the child's caught a pretty severe bug. You know, they got a problem. They may take them, you know, to the doctor, you know, get screened for COVID and find out that, nope, COVID not present. And so they're like, okay, it's not COVID. There, it just must be a general bug. And then, you know, go on with that. Now, maybe they don't even take them to the hospital because, well, they don't know. They don't know what's going on. And so you have an issue here where kids are being put in danger. But I also pointed out another issue, which was double vaccination. I mean, think about this. The parents who haven't gotten their kids vaccinated, you know, there could be two reasons. One, they don't plan on getting vaccination. Maybe they have a religious objection. Maybe they just don't trust the vaccine. And some, it may be an issue where because of the emergency use authorization, they are wanting to get more information regarding the safety of the vaccine, you know, see how well it's going, how many adverse reactions there are in order to gauge the risk. And let's say that now, after the vaccine's been out for a little while and they've been able to do their due diligence research, they decided, okay, the vaccine's okay, I'm going to get the kid vaccinated. But the kid's already been vaccinated. And so now you're giving them another vaccination. And if you do it too close together, that creates a problem. That puts the kid at risk. And this is what I was pointing out, that keeping the secret from the parents' vaccination records, you know, especially when it's the school administrators, you know, government officials who are doing the vaccination, and they are saying no one, the insurance companies, the doctors and all that, no one can notify the parents that the child has been vaccinated, that this creates a risk. But I also pointed out about what this is telling us about the left, that they think they own your kids. You know, think about this. We are seeing more and more situations now, whether it's the school, government officials, you know, and so forth, going off and being caught doing things and saying things to your kids and then telling them, don't tell your parents, don't let your parents know. And so we got it where now they are vaccinating and doing God knows what with your kids. And they are saying, by law, that must be kept secret from the parents. They're not allowed to know in any way, shape, or form what it is we are injecting their kids, what vaccinations they are getting, what medical treatments we are giving them, so on and so forth. It must all be kept secret from the parents. And then you got the school system with critical race theory and equity surveys and all of that. And the kids are being told, don't tell your parents. They are deliberately setting up to tell kids to lie to their parents about what's being done to them and what they are learning, and laws being set up to block parents from getting that information. What kind of society does that? What kind of society goes off and passes, you know, laws and goes through an education system telling kids, don't tell your parents. You must keep this a secret. It's an authoritarian society. especially one in which the state believes they own your kids. Yeah. You may have created them. They may be of your blood, have your genetics. You may have even given birth to them. But that doesn't mean your kids are yours. No. The kids belong to the state, and you should just feel privileged that the state allows you to raise your kids, allows your kids to be in your home with you. But as such, beyond food and shelter, you have no part in raising your kids, according to the Democrats. They make all of the parenting decisions. Now, these are the two points that I put out there about the vaccine: the risk of keeping it secret from the parents, as well as the authoritarian views of the left. And for that, what did they do? They labeled it misinformation. I appealed it, and they rejected the appeal. Even though everything I said is 100% true, that there are dangers and risks associated with keeping vaccination information from parents of their minor kid, the not knowing to look out for the potential of adverse reactions and the risk of double vaccinations. And then the mentality. What I've said was true, but they still censored it anyways because it's an inconvenient truth. And it also points out just how tyrannical and authoritarian the left has become. And they can't have that. They can't have you knowing what the Democrats have become. And as time goes on, we know that censorship is only going to get worse, and that they want to utilize the social media platforms to implement the censorship, along with the search engines to implement the censorship, because what they are trying to do is use the power of government to force out any information that they don't want anybody to know, to weed out any alternative sources of information, the influencers on social media, the YouTubers, the podcasters, anybody who is not a part of the establishment media pushing the Democrat narrative must be pushed out of existence. You're only allowed to know and think what it is the government tells you to think. And they're going to ram that through with pressure on these tech platforms. And we know that's the case. And it's only going to get worse. In fact, we already see here that these big tech companies are joining forces with these ultra-left organizations in order to determine what to censor. And it's not just information that they are going off to censor. They're going to try and go off and apply pressure to any payment processor or financial institution as the left is trying to defund conservatives, defund political opposition, defund anybody who provides any information that is inconvenient to the left. And we see this from Reason.com. Big tech watchdog group and law enforcement join forces to purge extremists. Of course, and what is their definition of an extremist? Anybody who disagrees with them on anything. And so there's been two recent stories, the article reads, both appearing in Reuters, should make civil libertarians wary for the future. Social media sites and tech companies are partnering with watchdog groups and law enforcement to share information about so-called extremists using their platforms. What constitutes a watchdog group? I mean, most of these so-called watchdog groups are political propagandists whose only reason to exist is to try and crush, stomp out, and deplatform anybody who disagrees with left-wing narratives. And law enforcement, well, considering the corruption of the FBI and such, we know that the idea of law enforcement is really just the Democrats abusing government and weaponizing it against any political opponent. And we have seen this. All right, so the article continues. PayPal, for instance, will work with the Anti-Defamation League. Now, there is an ultra-left organization who has long since abandoned its founding mission and purpose that has become ultra-political and just wants to censor out anybody who disagrees with them, the Anti-Defamation League. And, you know, it goes on to the point that I had made months ago when I was talking about ideological subversion and the Birch Society, where they go off and they talk about how the typical communist tactic is to constantly name call your political opponents, associate them with words that already have a bad smell, and then repeat it until the perception sticks, until basically tell a lie often enough, loud enough, long enough, and people will begin to accept it as truth. But it also goes off to say in the Communist Manifesto that you want to partner up with organizations that seem to have credibility, who seem to be against, based off of their name, to be against hate and against, you know, things that have a bad smell, and then partner with them to target your political opponents. And that's what we see going on, you know, as they label extremists. Well, right now, if you believe in the Constitution and individual liberty and freedom, you're an extremist. All right, so PayPal, it will work with the Anti-Defamation League to identify hate groups and use the platform to raise funds. Now, the Anti-Defamation League, are they the ones that actually go through and maintain a list of all the hate groups, and yet all the hate groups are not actual hate groups? Or I shouldn't say all of them. They get like one or two hate groups on their list, and then they just label a bunch of conservative groups along with it. You know, that they have a fraudulent hate list. Anyways, the article continues. Recall that the company previously denied access or accused, sorry, the recall that the company previously denied accused rioters facing charges related to the January 6th Capitol attack the ability to solicit donations for their defense. It would seem that PayPal's plan is to facilitate even fewer of these transactions. This is potentially concerning since the ADL defines hateful content in the broadest possible terms. Now, isn't that interesting? So, if you were part of January 6th, you're being denied access to be able to raise funds for your legal defense or for bail or for whatever. But if you were part of Black Lives Matter and you were setting fires to entire communities, committing arson, burning down government buildings, then, hey, that's fine. You're allowed to use their platform in order to raise up all the funds that you need in order to get bail and legal defense. Well, I guess you wouldn't need legal defense because the Democrats are blocking prosecution. But if you actually engaged in actual domestic terrorism, that's fine as long as you were doing it for the left. But if you were part of January 6th, where you were invited in, you took pictures of yourself behind Congress people's desk, got escorted on to the Senate floor, but because maybe a couple, you know, very few people, you know, got a little rowdy, you're going to be denied access. So burning down communities, okay, taking a tour of the Capitol building while protesting, not okay. You see the double standards here? You see how basically what they are saying is you either support the left or you're going to be deplatformed and defunded. This is what they are doing here. They're trying to use the power of government along with the private sector, the big tech companies, in order to censor and defund you, saying that, hey, you can't operate in society unless you just regurgitate what we tell you to. Meanwhile, the article reads, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and other sites will be expanding their use of centralized databases that compiles extremist content for the purpose of coordinating deplatforming. At present, the sites collude to take down content that promotes Islamic terrorism, ISIS, and the Taliban, for instance, but in the future, it could be deployed against right-wing extremism as well. Yes, these tech platforms are colluding with each other. We already seen that in House hearings, or maybe it was Senate hearings. Doesn't matter whether it was the House or the Senate, where it was shown how Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube collude with each other on what to censor and who to deplatform. And while they're all going to go off there and claim that it's about extremism and stopping hate, let's actually take a moment to see what they find to be extremist and hateful. So the ACLU takes aim at the Bill of Rights by tapping so-called experts to explain how racism is foundational to the Second Amendment. Oh, yes, so if you want to stomp out hate, you got to stomp out anybody who supports the Constitution. Because don't you know it? The Constitution is hateful and racist. And if you support it, you're a hate group. And if you're a hate group, well, you'll be denied access to PayPal. You'll be denied access to social media. You will be censored on the internet. Why? Because you support the Constitution, and the Constitution is foundationally racist, hateful, and those who support it are extremists. You see where this is going here? You see how all of this works? They play word game. It's just word manipulation that they use in order to justify anything. When in reality, the Democrats are a hate group. They are a racist hate group. They are the extremists. But it's always funny how dictators, authoritarians, racists all try to come up with excuses as to why it is their actions are not hateful, racist, or authoritarian. How they always claim that there is some noble cause, some noble utopian intention behind everything that they do. Now, I wish I could provide you some good news here, but there is no good news so long as Biden's installed in the White House. Things are only going to get worse, and you're going to be pressured to cave. You're going to be pressured to shut up, to self-censor yourself in order to not get booted from platforms, in order to not get booted from these payment processing services, in order to not be fired from your job, because the iron fist of government is what they are going for. You either comply or they're going to destroy you financially. That is the goal here. And while it's going to be hard, you're going to have to remain resilient, actively resist, and speak out and show people that they are not alone in their disagreement with the leftist agenda, that they are not alone in their disagreement with what is being pushed out by the left. Because if everybody is self-censoring, then, you know, everyone's made to feel alone, not knowing. But just like what we saw with critical race theory, as people started standing up, more and more people started speaking out. That's what needs to be done here. That is exactly how we combat this tyrannical threat that we are facing. Our founding fathers started a revolution and overthrew King George III's power and authority over the American colonies. They revolted against the British Empire for only a fraction of what it is the Democrats are doing today. I mean, compared to today's Democrats, King George III was a saint, we should say. You know, in comparison, not that he actually was a saint, but in comparison. And so we need to recognize that. And we need to avoid the temptation to just cave because it would be easier in the short term. We must stand up and actively resist. And yes, that may mean that you give up Facebook. And instead, you go over and you support MeWe. It means giving up Twitter and going over to Parler. It means saying screw you to ScrewTube and going over to Rumble. Places where you are allowed to freely share your ideas. And then to go off and find payment processors that won't go off and try to ram down a political agenda on you. It may be difficult in the short term. You may end up having to go off and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop funding Amazon. I'm going to stop purchasing from Amazon because every purchase to Amazon is funding the left's attack on our freedom and democracy. We may have to do a lot more research into the companies before we do business with them. Now, there may be some situations in which right now, there is not an alternative, but we must be willing to do that because if we don't, if we try to appease the left in order to stay on their platforms, we lose. We lose our rights. We lose our freedom. We lose our constitutional republic. And that is exactly what is at stake here and what the left is attacking. So we must actively resist, constantly be speaking out. Whether or not we go for a civil war or a revolution and all of that, time will tell. You know, it's never off the table. It's been on the table since the founding of this country and the very reason why we have a Second Amendment, because the founding fathers know that the nature of government is to become massively corrupt and abusive and wanted to make sure that when the time came that it became too corrupt, too abusive, too authoritarian, that we would have the right and we would have the ability to get the authoritarians out of power and replace them with those who respect our rights and our freedom. Now, are we there yet? That seems to be more of an individual decision, doesn't it? You know, are we there yet? I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people who think we are already there and just waiting for someone to stand up. And there are a lot of other people out there that are saying, no, 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 we're not there yet. You know, we see the Republicans going off passing election reform, election integrity laws, so that the election fraud that we witnessed in 2020 won't happen again. We'll be able to retake the House, retake the Senate, you know, and hopefully be able to undo the damage if we get super majorities. We can impeach Biden, all of that. All right. So, I mean, I'm giving you both sides here. I just don't know which one or which side is right at this point. I'm not going to come on here and tell you now is the exact time to take up arms and take out this abusive and corrupt government. But I'm also not going to tell you to just roll over and just accept it, that there's nothing that you can do. It's an individual decision. And when that comes down, or when it comes down to it, you know, time will tell. You know, if someone actually makes a move, time will tell how much support they have or what lack of support that they have. Time will tell. But if the left continues along this line, continues to become this corrupt, this abusive, this authoritarian, and we don't have free and fair elections to address it, I don't know what options there are, because we are running out of options as we continue to lose our rights and freedom. All right, so that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in. Please leave me a rating and a review. Don't forget to hit subscribe so that you never miss another episode if this is the first episode you're listening to. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back again soon.